Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
And joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Jay Noon.
And in the news recently, I saw some stuff yesterday about UFOs are back in the news. And it was just, seems like it was just a couple months ago that there was some government guy from the Air Force that was testifying about having seen UFOs or something like that. And now they got another government guy at another government hearing, a congressional hearing where supposedly people are put under oath. So you're supposed to believe that these people are telling the truth because they're under oath. It would be perjury otherwise. And I saw some footage last night of this guy, David Grush, who served 14 years as an intelligence officer, so-called, in the Air Force and National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. He appeared in front of the House Oversight Committee's National Security Subcommittee alongside two former fighter pilots, according to CBSNews.com. And apparently this guy is now a whistleblower. He told these House lawmakers that Congress has been kept in the dark about unidentified anomalous phenomena. I guess that's the new term for UFO. It used to be unidentified flying object. Now it's Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, or UAP, and alleged that these agencies have been withholding information about these objects for years. He served as a representative on two Pentagon task forces investigating UAPs until earlier this year. He told the congresspeople that he was informed of a, quote, multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program during the course of his work examining these classified programs. He said he was denied access to those programs when he requested it and accused the military of misappropriating funds to shield these operations from congressional oversight. He said later that he had interviewed officials who had direct knowledge of aircraft with, quote, non-human origins and that so-called biologics were recovered from some craft. So if this guy is to be believed, the conspiracy theories work, you know, that many alien fanatics out there, whatever you want to call them, UFO hunters have had, is true. They've been saying for years that the government has been covering up UFOs, that they have, you know, they found the downed UFOs. They've come and collected the hardware, and if there were bodies there of alien creatures, then they've collected that too, and apparently this guy is backing this up. Now, before we went on the air, Jay, you said this is a distraction.
Yep. So here's so this stuff is probably most likely true, like what he's saying about the government. Because first off, so here's the way I think about it. First off, when it comes to aliens and these unidentified flying objects, the thought that us human beings here on planet Earth are the only intelligent life in this entire, you know, galaxy, cosmos, universe,
yeah,
whatever,
makes no sense.
There's probably somebody else out there. In fact, I would be quite likely to say that us humans were probably a race of slave people that were, you know, genetically engineered by some very high, you know, highly intelligent race that we're unaware of, then dumped off here on this planet at some point because
there's some interesting theories
reason,
about
yeah,
that.
I mean, and that's actually a theory I like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, but it's a theory I like. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that government likes to save these kind of things. Media likes to save these kind of things when they need a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the Monica Lewinsky scandal was just back when You know, so there's a bunch of people listening to this probably weren't paying attention or even alive when that happened.
Yeah.
So basically, Monica Lewinsky was a White House intern during the Clinton administration, and a guy named Ken Starr brought an impeachment proceeding against Bill Clinton because allegedly Bill Clinton engaged in some kind of sexual activity with this young intern.
Yep.
But what happened during that whole impeachment thing was a thing called the Chinese Trade Accord. Was going on the same time that Ken Starr brought his impeachment against Bill Clinton. And the Chinese Trade Accord, which was very much wanted by the Walton family, who had, you know, ties to the Rose Law Firm, which was...
That's Hillary's thing, right?
Yeah, Hillary's law firm. They basically needed a distraction, a wag-a-dog situation, so that the American public wouldn't be paying attention to everything getting moved over to China. And I was a teenager this happened. I remember I was in high school, I believe. Yeah, I had to be in high school. But by the time I was out of high school, a bunch of the local factories in Palmer, Massachusetts, textile mills that were bustling before I went to high school were closed down. And that was mostly because everything went to China, sort of after this Chinese trade accord, where the American government made it very easy and incentivized all these companies, gave them grants even to move their operations over to China.
Well, one of the things that moved a lot of operations of manufacturing to foreign countries, China, India, you know, Pakistan, wherever, is the regulations.
Yep,
I mean,
too.
They made it so hard to do business in the United States that these companies, they had to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
so what you're saying is they sweetened the deal by actually giving them financial incentives to move somewhere else?
A company called American Optical, who a friend of mine worked for, she was a professional buyer. They were out of Southbridge, Massachusetts. She was someone who believed very much in the government. She's actually a Canadian immigrant, came here when she was a little girl. One of my dad's best friends worked her career in this American Optical. And part of her job was getting stuff set up in China. And, you know, when this place closed down in the 90s and she used to come over to our house, I can remember this. My dad had international calling. We would, you know, talk to Canada a lot, you know, hay deals and horses and stuff. And she would come over and use our phone when I was in high school. And she'd have to make phone calls at like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to these people over in China about setting stuff up. And then she actually went to China several times to help, you know, help set them up and teach a thing. And she was very upset that the American government was instrumental in financially supporting these moves to essentially close down American businesses. American Optical was, you know, back in the day where, you know, why glasses were so expensive was because, you know, some Americans were basically, you know, making these lenses and polishing them, and now, you know, it's all done by slaves over in China.
Hmm.
But anyway, so this is just another really good distraction that I believe that they saved. Something else is going on. We should really be paying attention to what they're not talking about. Just like this cocaine in the White House.
Also a distraction?
Also a distraction. Mm-hmm. So if they actually did find cocaine in the White House, it's just a convenient distraction. Somebody put it there for a distraction. The White House has, like, security covering every single square inch of it. If somebody did leave a baggie there, I'm sure they could figure out who it is if they really wanted to. But right now it's just a convenient distraction. I believe what the cocaine distraction was more of to stop people from you know, paying attention to the Sound of Freedom coming out and that. Also, we're, you know, we're on the
but it didn't work, cliff, though, right? I mean, hasn't the Sound of Freedom earned millions upon dozens of millions of dollars?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it didn't work if that was what the intention was. I don't know. I mean, I've heard these claims of this distraction thing many times, and I don't know if I necessarily buy it, because even if it wasn't the UFO story that was hitting right now...
I mean, anything's better than talking about Hunter Biden as far as the administration is concerned.
Well, the media can focus in on whatever they want to. I mean, there's always all kinds of things going on all around the world. I mean, if they want to focus on Hollywood or something, that'll be distracting to people, too. So I question whether or not they're... in engineering or timing these quote-unquote distractions, or it's just the news editor people out there who pick what stories lead are just choosing ones that they don't, you know, they don't want you to see a story about, say, for instance, right now, I went over to RT, RT.com, that's RussiaToday.com, because whenever you want to see what the mainstream media in the U.S. doesn't want you to see, you should go to RT and
that's
see what they're
or
doing.
Or Al Jazeera is another
good
one.
Yeah, Al Jazeera as well. And the headline over at RT, which I hadn't checked yet today, is that Seymour Hersh, who is a 80-something-year-old award-winning, like, big-time journalist who's broken a ton of big stories over here, He has revealed now that the U.S. played a critical role in the Crimean Bridge terror attacks down there in Ukraine. So we can talk a little bit more
about
that.
Just like the pipeline he brought out that the U.S. involved in that gas pipeline that they had blown up.
That's right, the Russian gas pipeline, yeah.
So the whole thing with the UFO stuff, so let's say that all this stuff these guys are testifying is true.
Mm-hmm.
It totally could be. There is always technology going to be out there that we the people are unaware of. There's, you know, a lot of government technology that exists for decades before we get to see it or understand it. So we don't know if these things are, you know, beings from somewhere else. When they put in there that there's non-human stuff, I mean, that could totally be true. But I believe a lot of this stuff is sort of being saved to be let out of the bottle at certain points. This is like and of course, with Operation Mockingbird is where the CIA feeds all of this stuff to all the corporate media for, mm-hmm. for them to regurgitate. I don't really believe anybody in corporate media is making, you know, any real decisions against the Operation Mockingbird stuff, or they're just probably following in line, especially any media who is, you know, advertising pharmaceuticals, who is taking the military-industrial complex money.
That's
for,
like all of them, right?
Well, it's all the corporate media.
Yeah. Fox News, MSNBC, yeah. You name it.
All that stuff. So I'm sure all those same media outlets are, you know, probably reporting on, you know, these guys talking about the UFOs. But when somebody with great credibility is going to testify about, you know, to Congress about UFOs, there's a big segment of the population that's going to get excited and happy because there's a lot of UFO enthusiasts.
Sure.
There's a lot of people that are going to get worried and nervous. And I've always been of the belief that the New World Order, you know, will be sort of like forged, mostly because of threat of an alien invasion. And I believe that is the thing they would like to gear the American people up.
This is going to be a motivating factor to get people to embrace global government.
Yeah.
As the
absolutely.
Protection against the aliens.
Yeah. And also it's a short-term distraction from the financial collapse that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just listened to a thing today. Bank of America is having all kinds of issues.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, of course, PacWest also, which was apparently the third largest bank in California, has been gobbled up by another California bank in order to rescue it from certain failure. So you basically got another bank that has failed, even without them saying it has failed. Like they swooped into the rescue before it could completely swirl all the way down the, you know, the drain. So that just happened within the last 48 hours.
And they're setting up this FedNow thing, or FedNow is live.
Yeah, that's on now.
I'm not really even 100% sure what that is.
It's a bank-to-bank transfer system. So, for instance, if you've ever sent, well, you don't have a bank account, so you probably don't have a lot of experience with this, but normally with bank account to bank account transfers, it can take a few days, unless you want to pay for a wire transfer, which could be $30 or $40. Wire transfers usually settle the same day. But your typical bank transfer, you're going to send some money into PayPal or withdraw from PayPal or something like that. It might be 2 or 3 business days before that settles out. It's just been that way forever, and they've never upgraded the technology. So FedNow is now where they will be able to do a bank-to-bank transfer, presuming the banks don't stop the transfer from happening, which, of course, they will do all the time to ask you more know-your-customer questions and, oh, well, we can't allow you to transfer that amount of money or whatever. There's going to be all these rules, of course, associated with it. But given if they don't actually halt the transfer, it should be a relatively instantaneous 24/7 transfer from bank account to bank account, which would be a decent upgrade for the banking system, although many people are saying that this is step one towards the central bank digital currency to allow banks to settle transactions on a near instantaneous basis instead of having to wait all day or maybe wait 2 or 3 days. And the other thing was 24/7 is another big change because it's usually only during bankers' hours when you can send a wire transfer or have any of this money is potentially moving between banks. So if you were to send, if I were to order a PayPal withdrawal or something like that on a Friday, it might not be until Wednesday the following week because it doesn't go anywhere on Saturday and Sunday. So that's what FedNow is. It makes it 24/7. It makes it near instantaneous, again, presuming they don't step in and halt it.
So they're basically setting up another currency exchange type thing, basically another fiat, you know, currency.
It's the same fiat currency. It's just it'll transfer over a faster system.
I think a lot of this is going to be, say, oh, this was, you know, a few years are going to look in the rearview mirror and be like, oh, well, the U.S. dollar collapsed and, you know, FedNow was supposed to take up the slack or CBDC, and maybe it didn't, doesn't happen, maybe it does. But I think a lot of this is just temporary distraction, you know, for the masses, and they need to just keep on ramping up the distraction. They need to, you know, rage bait, as a lot of these guys will put it. You know.
So you think this UFO thing is going to go further then? So if you believe that the
UFOs... If they need to push it further.
Well, right. If you think this is going to be the linchpin towards getting people to embrace a global government to fight the alien threat, then there's going to have to be an alien threat at some point,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So, you know, this is where it gets hard to believe for me, because I tend to be of the belief that governments are not particularly competent at what they do. Yes, they can kill people. There's no doubt about it. The military has all kinds of weapons developed by the private sector that, when utilized, will absolutely exterminate large amounts of human life. So there's no doubt that they are, quote unquote, good at killing people. They're not particularly efficient at it because they spend a lot of money to do what they do, but they are able to kill people. But are they able to fool people into believing that there's an alien threat? It's just hard to believe.
You only
got to
fool, you know, apart the algorithmic slave, the ones that they've been programming for a while, the people who are gullible, the people that listen to the government, the people that listen to media. You only have to get them really fool them. You just got to get them to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll have a lot of effect. Oh, please protect me from these guys. Yeah, we need to have an alliance with, you know, all these other countries, China and Russia. And then they're also pushing another narrative is that you hear, well, you know, China and Russia are trading together with this, you know, BRICS deal, and these other countries are involved. And now Iran sending these, you know, what kamikaze drones, I don't know what they're called, if you heard about them, but they're basically drones that are, you know, made with a bunch of explosive in them, and they just fly into something and they wreak havoc. And
it seems to me, Jay, my view on this is that they had a ton of success with COVID, right? Like, COVID is something you couldn't see. Right, aliens, you kind of gotta see it, right? Like, you gotta see planes or UFO coming down from the sky. They gotta be zapping lasers into people and coming on down under the ground and abducting people or whatever, right? Like, there has to be something a little more tangible, I think, to get people really afraid of aliens. But with COVID, it was just this invisible thing that all of a sudden is more dangerous than the terrorists, and you have to stay inside. And they managed to convince so many people to just obey and get these questionable shots, these experimental, quote, vaccines that God knows what they actually are supposed to do. We're seeing people keeling over at age 30 or 18. Apparently some basketball star's, I don't know, brother or son recently keeled over at age 18. There's just like, it's amazing how gullible people are. So, I mean, you're right about that. People are certainly gullible. It just seems like it's going to be a really hard sell to get them on board with an alien invasion without having some serious, I don't know, something to look at.
So if the government says it's happening, look at all the government, that all the people in the world that believe the COVID narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of those people will buy the UFO narrative? Probably a lot of them, especially if you can, you know, use like the, what's it, Project Bluebeam, where they can make images in the sky. Have you seen in Dubai where they have these like giant whales jumping out of the water? It's a hologram.
No, I haven't seen this. No.
It's pretty wild. It was one of Jeff Berwick does a walk and talk, and he had some clips on it where I believe it was in Dubai. They had holograms of these huge whales jumping in and out of the water, like hundreds of feet.
But wait, was it something you could see with your own eyes, or was it one of those augmented reality things where you had to hold up a phone to see it?
I don't know, to be honest with
you. I'm curious now.
It was said you could see it with your own eyes.
Okay.
I mean, I just watched it on my phone.
You got me wanting to look into that, so during one of the breaks, we'll check into that.
But saying that government is incompetent and not being able to pull this off, like they're generally incompetent, is one of the greatest benefits to government. It's called plausible deniability. So one of the things that government really likes to lean on is plausible deniability. So when I would say years ago, 911 was an inside job orchestrated by the U.S. government, a friend of mine who, a relative of a friend of mine who I didn't realize, but works in the Department of Defense, and he went and he goes, why don't you leave your phone in your truck? This was 2006, and he put his phone away, And we went for a walk in the woods. He goes, hey, if you keep on talking like this, I'm going to have to report your name to my supervisor. You keep on saying things and, you know, keep on asking me questions about my job, I'm just going to have to report you. And they're definitely listening to us through the phones.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, so I brought about 9/11. And so what he said to me while the phones were there, he goes, well, that's silly. Government doesn't, the right hand of government never even knows what the left hand of government is doing. Government can't keep track of anything. It's just a big bureaucracy. It's very hard to know what's going on. And there's no way government could coordinate something like this. When we took a walk in the woods, the story was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically, the plausible deniability is, oh, government couldn't do this. They couldn't pull this off. You know, like, for example, of, you know, 9/11, for example, which I believe it was either allowed to happen or orchestrated. But one thing we do know is it did benefit the people, the psychopaths who demand power that want to rule and control us.
For sure.
Got a lot more power because of that. How much more power? And they got a lot more power because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more power are they going to get because people get hysterical about UFOs? And they probably do exist. These alien life forms, as far as I'm concerned, they should exist. And to think that we're the only intelligent life is, you know, is ridiculous. There has to be someone else out there in this, you know, universe that we're on, we're in. And yeah, I think they're just, you know, they need to ramp up the disinformation, the misinformation, and fear is just such a motivator.
Absolutely.
And there's a whole bunch of people who aren't going to be afraid of a virus that will be afraid of UFOs, that will be afraid of aliens.
That's true. We are seeing them ramping up fear surrounding so-called climate change now.
Too.
That one, I got to tell you, I'm getting notices every single day on this phone about, oh, it's a heat wave, it's a heat warning, or something like that. And it's like, I've never gotten these before. It's no hotter this year than it's been any other year. But all of a sudden, the government people, that's who's behind these notices. It's the National Weather
Service. Cooler here, I think, than normal.
Could be. The National Weather Service, that's a government agency. They're the ones who are sending these notices out. It's like heat warning, heat warning, heat warning. Stay inside. There was a news, I don't know, saw something on the news the other day or social media. It was like somebody took a screenshot of an email they'd received at a college, and the college was warning the students to, oh, such and such event has been canceled due to the extreme heat. You're advised to stay inside and so on. And it's just like, what are you talking about? It is not any hotter now than it has ever been. And if it is hotter, then just bring some water with you. You'll be fine.
Well, just sweat. It's good for you.
Yeah.
I've been stacking hay basically the last week and a half. Mm-hmm. Almost every day we've been going and getting hay, picking it up off the fields. It's 85, 90 degrees out. And that's what's supposed to be when you're making hay. This is just normal weather we're having here in New Hampshire.
I agree. And but this is what they're doing right now. This is their next thing, is to try to get people to stay indoors, locked down due to the climate crisis. Once again, another invisible threat that people are just going to, in some cases, believe because they're getting the notices about it, and then they're going to freak out about that. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Over 140 million Americans under heat alerts as extreme temperatures linger across the U.S. Accounting for humidity, they're expected to top 100 degrees from the Midwest to the Northeast. A former U.S. intelligence official says the U.S. government is in possession of UFOs.
Mr. Gresh, finally, do you believe that our government is in possession of UAPs?
Absolutely, based on interviewing over 40 witnesses over 4 years.
A judge in the Hunter Biden case says she needs needs more information before she can accept his plea deal. Yesterday, the judge says she was not ready to accept that plea deal and asked both sides to file additional briefs. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis says he's considering naming Democratic candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead one of the nation's health agencies. Corey Myers, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. The rising fees that have been going on for years on the Bitcoin network have basically made Bitcoin useless for payments, especially for small purchases. But Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented some really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. So some pretty big developments coming up with Dash that hopefully we'll be able to announce within the next couple of weeks, including they're going to be, or I guess are in the process of being integrated into a decentralized exchange called Maya Protocol. We'll tell you more about that when it is complete. It is in the process. It's nearing the end steps from what I understand, according to the updates I've been seeing online, which is very, very exciting. We'll tell you more about that as we learn it. But from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait around for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more over at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. All right, so if you want to join the show, you can. Here, the number is 603 888-283-6160. We're talking about potentially interesting news. Also, maybe it's just a distraction. The UFO hearings apparently continued with a former government agent, David Grush, who served for 14 years as an intelligence officer, so-called, in the Air Force and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, basically said that he was aware of aircraft with non-human origins being collected and that so-called biologics were recovered from some of those crafts. I saw a clip last night where he admitted that people had been physically harmed to try to cover up this information. And when he was asked if people had been murdered over covering up this information, he did not give a straight answer.
Here's another thing they get to say. Look how horrible all these other administrations were when it came to, you know, talking about the UFOs and all the things they had to do, the people they had to harm to cover up this information, and the Biden administration is, you know, letting it all out now.
Mm.
It's probably going
to
be another
thing. Trying to win some brownie points.
Yeah.
Members of both parties questioned how Congress, according to CBSNews.com, should go about investigating the remarkable allegations, a reflection of the increasing willingness by lawmakers to demand the executive branch be more forthcoming about the phenomena. Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee said, "We're going to uncover the cover-up, and I hope this is just the beginning of many more hearings and many more people coming forward about this," he said. The UAP, which is the new term for UFO, it stands for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. The UAP issue has gained widespread attention from Congress and the public in recent years with the release of several video recordings of the encounters, which typically show seemingly nondescript objects moving through the air at very high speeds with no apparent method of propulsion. Now, video footage is easy enough to fake, especially these days. I mean, it was one thing 30 years ago, you know, in the 1990s or even before that in the 80s or whenever it was for when UFO videos came out. It was, you know, they were, if you were going to fake that, you had to have, like, a really fancy setup, essentially. You couldn't just, there was no computer graphics to speak of at that time, so you had to do it the old-fashioned way, right? Like, put a flying saucer on a fishing pole string or something and try to fool people, and a lot of people weren't being fooled by a lot of these videos. But now, you know, some teenager in his basement could easily cook up a fake UFO video, and certainly the government has the ability to hire people to do fake UFO videos. So if that's what the plan is, Jay, is to just release video of the purported aliens and just say that, okay, now this is what we need to have more government for, then maybe that'll get some people on board. But without actually having witnesses to an actual alien invasion or some sort of,
I'm sure they could get some people with government badges and clipboards and, you know, whatever. Whether there be military people, oh, I was flying my F-35, mm-hmm. and I saw that. I certify that that is what I saw with my own human eyes.
Well, that's what we have going on here.
Yeah. So a whole bunch of things pop up here. What could they gain from this? Oh, a bigger military budget. We need a bigger military budget. So
well, they get that every year anyway.
It's
almost $1 trillion now.
It's almost $1 trillion.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure the military budget is bigger than the debt payments of the United States, because the debt payment, I believe, is close to $1 trillion a year.
It is getting close too. Yeah. It's about on par with one another.
Right. And here's the other thing too. What have we learned about the reason that America has adversaries around the world and other nations is because the military-industrial complex eggs on its politicians to go make sure there's wars, to go do saber-rattling, to go to go send drones over and blow up, you know, wedding parties.
That means business for those companies.
Literally annihilate 500,000 Iraqi children, and then Hillary Clinton just cackles about it. So if all this stuff is true and these guys are all being honest and are under oath, they're talking about these aliens, it sounds like a whole lot more reason why we should have no government whatsoever, because I can tell you that they do not represent me. They don't represent anyone I know, actually. I don't know anyone who supports murdering, you know, 500,000 children around the other side of the world.
I don't know anyone who even
supports aiding and abetting Ukraine. You know, one example to another.
I don't know. I've seen the flags driving around. I figure those people support it.
So I, And so when I say I don't know, I don't really know those people that well. And I have asked some people who have the flags on their cars, mm-hmm. you know, the little Ukraine sticker. And like, so you support the Ukrainian war. And actually, one guy, I talked to him the other day. He goes, well, no, I don't support the war. I support the people of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, because your Ukrainian flag sticker is a little confusing. I wasn't sure if you supported the politicians or supported the actual poor people that are being, you know, subjected to harm by the politicians of Ukraine and America and the Russian politicians. Actually, but this
guy had
no idea that the Ukrainian government has been shelling the Donbass and Luhansk regions since 2014. And he goes, oh, I never heard that, he said. And I go, yeah, they don't say that on NPR. And he goes, you're right, they don't. That's what I listened to, he was telling me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know anybody that actually supports war, like, that I've talked to in the past couple years. You know, a whole bunch of people I grew up with are very pro-war, pro-military. I mean, most of your parasite class people, you know, support all these things because they're just basically algorithmic slaves as far as I'm concerned, and they mm-hmm. just do what the algorithm tells them to do, and it's to support this nonsense. I mean, most of these almost everybody who's waving a Ukrainian flag has no idea what's going on. They're just just following, you know, the algorithm. They're just doing what they're told.
Yep. Putin so bad, Ukraine yep. good.
All government's bad. And so if we have a bunch of aliens, if there are these very, you know, high vibing, high intelligence beings that have figured out how to, like, basically, you know, go a million miles an hour and, you know, this, you know, zero energy propulsion or whatever, I don't know, you know, do all these things that they're, you know, we hear about in all these alien movies and shows and books that we've read over the years. It sounds like we need someone rational to deal with them if they could just squash us or zap. And it shouldn't be anybody
in the government
because their record with how, you know, well, we're going to set one of our ships in the middle of a Gulf of Tonkin and we're going to blow it up so we mm-hmm. can kill a whole bunch of people and, you know, make sure we, you know, control all that. Whatever's going on there, I don't even know.
We've certainly seen plenty of movies over time where the governments of whatever countries are very quick to shoot the alien visitors, and usually things don't go really well after that. Obviously, it's fiction, but it is based in some level of reality. Governments are violent groups of people. I mean, these are thugs who their only tool is the gun, their only tool is bombs and destruction, and that is what they're likely to bring to bear if there really is some sort of extraterrestrial alien force or whatever that comes in here. Maybe they wouldn't do us harm if it weren't for these psychopathic states.
My hope is that they're here to save us.
Oh, wouldn't that
and
be
they're
nice?
Here to help us. And they know the difference between the good people and the bad people. Maybe they're kind of like Santa Claus. They know who's naughty and nice.
They've been making a list.
That would be really cool. Because if they want to just take out all the naughty people, like Thoros style, is that the guy's name in that movie where half of the population...
The Marvel thing, right?
Yeah,
I've never seen it. Thanos, I've heard.
Thanos is the guy's name where basically half of the population is just disappears.
Just gone. Yeah, all right. Press that button.
So maybe these guys know better, how to just... They just got to show up, do a little cleansing.
Oh, man.
And, you know, hopefully they get it right. And, you know, I'm not in an elevator with, like, you know, some kind of lobbyist or something when it happens, or, you know, some politician. But
yeah, it'd be nice if they could just hit a button and delete all of the politicians and all of their flunkies and all their buildings and all their cruisers and the tanks. And, like, it'd be great to just take out the tools, too, right? Because if you just...
That's a good idea.
If you just remove the people... You still haven't solved the problem of power, because until people actually come to the understanding that governments are a bad thing, that the states are actually a danger to society, that they are harmful to peace all around the planet, then they're going to try to recreate it. So if everybody woke up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden the president's gone and all of his staff is gone and all the Congress is gone and all those people are gone, but all the seats are still there, all the buildings and stuff are still there, then somebody's going to go in there and seize the reins of power. They might fight over it for a little bit, but eventually some strong man or a strong woman or whoever will get into that position, because humans aren't ready for this yet. I mean, we're just playing libertarian fantasy here with the aliens at this point, but it is fun to think about that. That's why we have to get to the point where people actually don't value the state or the idea of the state anymore, where they're ready to leave it behind in the sort of the dustbin of history with chattel slavery, where the idea of government, this monopoly on violence as we know it, is no longer something that people want. People have to move beyond that in order for society, in order for mankind to rise to whatever the next level is, the next station.
I would hope that, you know, the next invasion on the United, on wherever in the world, you know, there's going to be one, whether it's, you know, Russia, China, India, these BRICS nations who are, and the people of these nations who are just sick of being abused and murdered and, you know, financially, you know, abused by the U.S. military, just enforcing their dominance and their, and enforcing the U.S. dollar on the rest of the world. So when those nations come and attack America, you know, the bombs being sent over by Russia don't know the difference between me and, you know, some international bankster. So there's going to be a lot of collateral damage, to where I'm hoping that these aliens are benevolent. They understand good from bad, and government is able to cease to exist. This would be really cool. And another thing I'd really like to do with the aliens is I'd like to trade with them. I'd like to have partnerships with them, be friends with them, you know, just be allies with them. You know, I'm sure that they just want their babies to grow up and, you know, have good, happy lives like I want for my babies. So we probably have a lot of commonalities. But if they have this, you know, supreme power over us, they might just want to enslave and rule us. I don't know.
I kind of like the view that you had earlier, that they are a higher vibration.
I believe in the good things coming.
Creature.
And that's my mantra.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. You know, the idea being that how could they get to where they are if they were still saddled with these governments, right? Because
Right. Governments
hold back. I mean, that's what the word means. When you have a governor on your truck, it stops you from going above 55 miles an hour, right? Or whatever the arbitrary amount is, right? To govern means to control. And so whenever you have government around, you have a retardation of progress.
Oh, yeah. You just reminded me of a joke a farmer told me years ago. I used to buy a lot of hay upstate New York. And this guy I bought hay from, he says to me, how do you slow down a fast governor? I says, well, I don't know, Phil. How do you do that? He goes, you put a prostitute on her. And this was during the time, I believe the guy's name was Elliot Spitzer. And I'm pretty sure he was the governor of New York at that time. And he had gotten, you know, busted with some prostitutes. But I thought that was pretty good.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Skeeter on the line in California. Go ahead.
Hey, I heard you talking about, like, how people don't, government would come back if you were, like, try to, like, repeal it or, you know, wake up one day and it's gone.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you don't see why that's an argument for, like, accelerationism?
No.
Because you can't repeal government or you can't run away from it, like, with secession.
How much does it need? So it's been, if you look at the dollars government spends, for example, on just everything, military, interest, the dollars they give out in welfare so people can go buy drugs, whatever it is, that, I mean, it needs to accelerate more than it has in the past decade.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, he believes it should accelerate even more, and then that's somehow going to lead to the end of the state.
Yeah, I think just gives the state more power.
I can give you an example of, like, back in the Prohibition when they made alcohol illegal.
What's the example?
Let me quote from an article by Ken Burns called Unintended Consequences of Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, one of the most profound effects of Prohibition was on government tax revenues. Before Prohibition, many states relied heavily on excise taxes and liquor sales to fund their budgets. In New York, almost 75% of the state's revenue was derived from liquor taxes.
Hmm.
With Prohibition in effect, that revenue was immediately lost. At the national level, Prohibition cost the federal government a total of $11 billion in lost tax revenue while costing over $300 million to enforce. And this was in 1920s dollars. And there's also another credible source, a YouTube video. Liquor taxes were a huge part of government revenue up until the 1910s.
Mm-hmm.
It provided up to 30 to 40% of the revenue for the federal government. It was something they really couldn't function without. After the stock market crash of 1929, the Great Depression began. Income taxes fell dramatically. In 1932, income tax revenue were 46% lower than just 2 years earlier.
Okay, so let me clarify something then, Skeeter. So what You are someone who believes in this idea of accelerationism. You want the government to get bigger, more oppressive, and you want it to happen faster, right? So that way the idea is they will crumble under their own weight, essentially. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like if you take, for example, the drug war, if you intensify double, like you cause twice the amount of damage, but it lasts half the time,
okay,
you can see the net effect is a wash.
You just pointed out that prohibition actually reduced the funding to the government, so shouldn't you support abolishing prohibition in order to fund the government better?
Well, just the opposite. No, I, as an accelerationist, I want them to spend more, get less revenue. So I want to do things like accelerate the drug war, raise tax rates, right? That may sound counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it actually will lower tax revenue.
Like, for example, one of the things I was thinking about doing possibly at a town meeting is when they're talking about raising the town budget. Is just be there and be like, no, let's triple it. Don't just raise it 4%. Just triple it. So everybody's property taxes are like quadruple the very next time.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the property taxes going up $1,000, every year, now everyone's property taxes went from $18,000 to $50,000.
That's crazy.
Well, that would be, might wake a few people up, right? They might want to ask the town via a right to know request, how did you get the authority to put a tax on my property? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
Things like that. Because nobody's even asking these questions. But, I mean, that was a thought I had, just having some fun. Let's see if we can make everyone's property tax bill, 100% or 200% higher. So it's like the frog jumps out of the water before he cooks to death. But
if you're not careful the way you play accelerationism, government can survive and last longer. This is what I was getting to with this prohibition.
Well, I think that's the problem What you're advocating here, Skeeter, is that if people aren't ready to end the state, if the state ends prematurely, meaning that if it dies under its own weight, under the burden of all of its regulations and taxes and enforcement or whatever you want to call it, then people are going to just reform it. They're going to just start it again. They're going to,
Nope.
Why wouldn't they?
There's a difference between like repealing and secession and that. It's because the people who invested in the state, who let them borrow money, who invested in the dollar, who invested in the system that relies on U.S. government protection get punished very badly when it collapses.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't a ton of other people waiting in the wings who are going to want to pick up the ball and start running it in their own direction.
Doesn't matter. That whole vacuum thing is a fallacy, because once the fractional reserve system like fails once, the distrust won't allow them to ever get that much power again. And that's what you have to hope for.
I wish I was that optimistic. Thank you for the call, Skeeter. I appreciate it. The number here tonight, 603-283-6160. I don't see it happening at all that way. It seems to me that as long as people believe in governments, they are going to keep forming them. They may form it in a different way.
As long as they keep on having faith in this U.S. dollar or any fiat. So he talked about all these things that happened when the governments no longer had the ability to collect a tax on alcohol because all the alcohol was illegal, so they lost all those alcohol revenues. But there was plenty of revenue, I'm sure, collected on a criminal justice side. But back then, in 1910, you didn't have the Federal Reserve. In the 1920s, you didn't have the Bretton Woods Accord. So in 1971, the U.S. dollar went off the gold standard. So previous to 1971, they had to at least pretend that they were only issuing as much money as there was gold on hand.
Mm-hmm.
That all went out the window. That's like the second or third time the U.S. government actually defaulted on its debt obligation. And these guys are like, oh, the U.S. government never defaulted. You hear these guys talk about this all the time. Like, yeah, they've defaulted several times. And one of them was when they closed the gold window, when they shut it off. And
the dollar has been just diving in value ever since, just plummeting.
Right, and it's been basically 100% fiat currency ever since this 1971 date. Now, the government can just keep on growing and growing and growing as long as there's enough slaves to keep carrying it and to keep supporting it.
And to counter what Skeeter was saying there at the very end of his call, the idea that the failure of the dollar will turn people off to fiat currency presumes that people understand a thing about fiat currency. And I'm sorry, I don't think there's really any evidence for that. I don't know how many people in the United States do understand what fiat currency is. For listeners that don't know, it is essentially fiat means the, you know, the declaration of the king. The king, by fiat, says a thing is valuable, so therefore it's valuable. That's essentially what the dollar is. It is what you call a fiat currency. It's the same thing's true of the euro. The same thing's true of, you know, the Japanese yen, etc. And the failure of a fiat currency, all you got to do is look at countries where they've had fiat fail. Like, look at Zimbabwe, for instance. Look at Venezuela. I mean, the people of Venezuela...
Look at the United States. It's happening here.
Well, it's happening, but it hasn't completely ended, right?
Look in the cities. The examples of the heroin addiction, the drug addicts,
it's ugly, but they're not going to blame the dollar for it.
But it is the dollar.
None of this stuff could happen
without the dollar.
No doubt. The dollar is contributing. It's certainly extracting wealth from people. That's the whole point of a fiat currency, is that the central bank prints out more money into circulation. They give it to their buddies in the military-industrial complex or the pharmaceutical-industrial complex, and then it filters down into the rest of the economy, and before you know it, you know, a hamburger is $10, right? Or $20.
So what happened first is, you know, they also gave all this money to the big corporate farms and the big corporate farmers to incentivize the production of a whole bunch of feedstock that's, you know, laced with Roundup, which has glyphosate in it, which makes all of us sick. So basically everything, all the cheap food, so you get this government-subsidized cheap food that people have been eating for generations, is causing the old people to die off much younger, especially the ones that, you know, are of the corporate lifestyles and, you know, in microwaving and eating all this, you know, packaged garbage. And then when people start backing away because people are understanding that all that government-subsidized food is junk. One of the things, you know, if you remember when I was 300 pounds, Ian.
I remember.
But what actually got me to get down to like 215 pounds is I went on a strict diet of no government subsidized food. I didn't eat anything that could be government subsidized. And just, you know,
great shape today. You look great.
Yeah. And but a lot of people, so they incentivize a lot of stuff that's unhealthy for us. They don't incentivize healthy things, you know, and they're creating,
same thing with
the public schools. Yeah, they just want dependency.
They want ignorant, dependent slaves.
And then government's given all these people that are into drug encampments money to get their drugs, so they're funding the drugs.
Which is why the ignorance is going to be key to why fiat will continue. So what Skeeter is envisioning here is not likely to occur absent some huge renaissance in thinking about money. And I'm not seeing that happening around me yet. I'm not hearing anything about that happening. We're trying our best to introduce alternatives up here, but it's hard work. And so when the fiat fails, like it has done in other countries, Venezuela is happening right now, they just introduced another form of fiat.
Yep.
And they play the whole scam out again and again and again. There's more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.